it's time for Measure Twice.
Hello, welcome to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Customer Modeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. And you're listening to us on Machinist News Talk, 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. What an exciting time of year. And it's I mean the thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Although we have it pretty light compared to the rest of the, compared to some parts of the country.
Very true.
Holy moly. Talk about nature's remodeling.
Yeah.
My goodness, what a tragic, you know, it's just terrible. You see a 40-mile stretch of tornado that just is the best wrecking ball in the world.
It is something.
Joel, if you had that, if you like somebody was like, hey, look, a tornado hit my house. Do you reuse the foundation? Do you reuse the form? The houses are gone. So
that would definitely depend, because it could shift. It could mess up a foundation. If it does, then you're starting from scratch.
So you're basically just taking that hole, reinforcing the hole.
You have to get an engineer and check it out and make sure that it's actually in good shape.
Right, because you can't, even the hole, like you have to, I'm the one of those people that's like, oh, you dig a hole, you pour some cement, but even the way that the basement or is dug is as a method and a reason. Like, they don't just dig a hole.
Right.
There's a method to make sure that it's sound, right?
Like,
so even that can go.
When the Palm Sunday tornadoes came through back in the 60s, there you could see the foundation of where the house was, but they rebuilt next to it, on that same foundation.
So that's true. They don't even use the foundation at all, not even the...
Right.
Because it's really a do-over 100%, generally.
I mean, well, in that foundation, when the house was taken, it could have broken off the
right,
so it wouldn't be
stable
or level again. I chipped it away. I don't know.
Now, in the 60s, the foundations, you didn't see, I mean, you still saw more like the field stone foundations and things like that. That would definitely get messed up if a house gets just leveled.
Right.
Foundations that we have now are pretty stout. Depending on, like, if a walkout, that might be a little more susceptible. I don't know. I mean, I haven't gotten a call yet.
Well, good.
I hope you don't.
I don't want to. Absolutely hope not.
Right.
You know?
Because that's just terrible. There was and last week I saw a pretty involved garage fire.
Really?
Yeah. And I was also thinking, like, wow, I wonder if Joel, like, if that happens, because the other part of the house didn't look damaged at all.
Is it attached?
Yeah.
Smoke, though, man.
Yeah.
Oof. Smoke's terrible.
Water. Oof. Oof.
Yeah.
Sometimes that does more damage than the fire.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure, right. Water doesn't... Smoke... They both get everywhere they want to go. Mm-hmm. But if you had a garage fire, and let's say that if there was smoke damage, I mean, you don't tear the house down, right? I mean, you gotta.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know how they do that.
I don't either. But if somebody lost their garage, you could tack it back on if the house wasn't affected, right? Yeah. You can just
rebuild the garage.
Yeah, rebuild it. It's not that big of a deal.
It'd be like an addition.
Yeah, right. Right. But it was just dawned on me watching the weather, news, like, oh my goodness, what happens if that happens? It's kind of a do-over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. But you know what? You can rebuild. That's the good thing,
Yeah.
But that's not what we were going to talk about today at all. I was wondering, so you know, you go from, let's say, the, you know, early 1900s, the way houses were built, and we talk about this a lot, and we've morphed 100 years or 120 years or whatever since then. I'm wondering, how do the footprints of a house, how do the floor plans come about? Like, how do they, you know, like right now, if you were to build a house, there's kind of a sense of the way houses are. Like, how do we get there?
I mean, you talking about architectural styles? Or you're just talking about a floor plan?
No, floor plan, sorry. I say footprint, and you get, when I say footprint, you guys think this is the outside of the house. What?
Well,
the footprint
where it sets.
Yeah, where it sets. And I'm thinking, I meant to say floor
function.
Plan.
It's starts with the client usually, and what they're asking for, what type of house they're.
Well, and it depends too on what you're spending on a house. You know,
yep.
If it's a custom build, if it's, you know, somebody who's got.
Back houses.
25 plans, and you can vary, you know, every plan, you can, like, everything has five options in it, your kitchen or whatever.
Right.
But it still boils down to your functionality and what your needs are for a house.
But I'm thinking that a homeowner, I mean, they innovate a little in floor plans, but, like, generally, floor plans have morphed, you know, changed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
open over, concepts.
Yeah.
Well, it just, it really flows out of how we live.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, a house that was built 5 years ago has a slightly different floor plan than today. Like, something happened in the past, I'm saying five, but in the past decade, like, there has been a shift. I remember thinking back a decade ago, like, man, houses are so set up so perfectly now. And it's like, they can't get better. And then you go into a new house and you're like, they got better. How did that happen? You know, it's hard for somebody who's not in the industry to, like, visualize that change. You guys watch it happen in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you're, for a regular homeowner, it's like, you don't think about it once you bought the house, you know, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And there's trends. I mean, just like everything else, there's trends in floor plans,
right.
Open concept. I was just talking to Leatherman Supply, and they're asking me if I've noticed another shift in floor plans, and that is back to individual rooms rather than the open concept.
Well, that's where I was going to go, because a new build in my neighborhood, I wouldn't call that an open concept. It's room by room.
Well, and COVID changed a lot of that. COVID has had a major impact on future floor plans and how we live and work in the same space and educate in the same space. So in other words, what happened with COVID is people were working from home, and their kids were homeschooled because of lockdowns. They discovered that, oh, I need a room for this. I need a separate room for this. So it's shifted.
Well, and yeah,
thought
I mean,
process.
Which goes back to the way we live.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I guess I would ask, okay, when did open concepts start? About, I mean, I know, you know, like
30 years,
probably
30, mm-hmm. 90s at some 90s. Point, somewhere in the 90s, mm-hmm. Right?
But it's even expanded more so since then, because some open concepts were just the living room, dining room, the great room concept.
Right.
Now all of a sudden our kitchens, living rooms, and dining areas are all one space.
Right. But you're saying that could be sliding back to
individual spaces. Because another thing that I hear a lot is, I don't want my dining room open to my kitchen because I don't want people to see, if I'm having a party, I don't want people to see my dirty kitchen.
Yeah.
Going back to that, where we talked about the kitchen as the gathering space,
right.
And they're like, they get past.
Well, now
dishes.
We're entertaining, and now everybody's going to see my dirty dishes piled in the sink because I don't have time to, you know. So then I'm thinking, I think I want a dining room that's separate from my kitchen.
Right, and I've been in some pretty highfalutin houses that have two kitchens, and you go to the house when they're entertaining, and you're like, did you cook in here? And they're like, no, we cooked in that kitchen, even though this is a full kitchen.
Because, like, they're hiding the mess.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Yeah, they're hiding the mess in the, you know, mm-hmm. or the catering kitchen. I think that's what she called it. Like, it's like, you know, but I mean, hey, look, if you have it,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Smoke them if you got them, right?
That's right. Smoke them if you got them, right?
But I'm hearing more of that, not just in that level of home, but just across the board in average housing.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is that, to me, that's like, wow, that's, you know, that's pretty high, you know, like a high-end concept to have another kitchen. But when you...
Well, I don't mean another kitchen. I just meant the separation of a kitchen and just, the dining
Gotcha. So I was like, wow. It's like, wow, that's getting normal.
No.
Well, the middle class has shifted. Well, when we come back, let's talk about like that, you know, that kind of like, how are we living? Is it really different living now from just 5 years ago? This is Measured Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors and Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. You're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. And we're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops. With the showroom now open in Granger, right next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We're talking about stuff is changing.
Always.
Everything always is changing. But the major, you know, there's major changes in the floor plans of homes now. And Joel, that's like right in your wheelhouse. You're like, yes, make them change. Let's change them all right now. Because like you're in the change business.
Yeah, that's what we do, is change things.
That's right. That's like, you could be like a Graber Custom Changing.
Yeah.
The change experts. That's pretty cool. That's like a little, maybe we've stumbled upon your next marketing
maybe
motto. The
change experts.
It's like quarters, dimes, nickels,
yeah, just pennies,
half dollars. This looks like a half dollar job.
Yeah.
But no, you really are. And you're dealing with firsthand why people change.
Yeah.
And it's not just damage, you know, it's not only damage. It's what? It's
a lot of it's psychological, really. I mean,
oh, really?
Yeah. Most people they feel like they need a change for whatever reason it is.
Right.
Maybe when they bought the place, they knew that they were going to change that at some point in time, and it's just gotten to a point where like, hey,
right,
that we need to make.
So there's the change that comes from need, like, hey, we grew, we're different, right, whatever. And then you're saying like there's the change where it's just like, I just want to see something different.
Yeah. It changes, you know, you do something special with a master bathroom, it changes the feel for that.
Right. I mean, that was like a heavy right. Yeah, absolutely. Does it ever leak? Does it ever go like, oh, I updated the master bedroom.
I thought he meant the bathroom.
No.
If I leak.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
No, we hope not.
Yeah.
I've changed I've made this great master bathroom, and then it's kind of like, well, I don't like walking out into this bedroom now. Or, you know, I don't know, like.
Yeah, it will happen where people will update stuff and then say, you know what?
Hey, while you're here.
Which, that doesn't work. We could come back.
Well, the funny thing is, I would think if you did a master bathroom, you would go in, if you hadn't done your walk-in closet or something, it one will outclass the other, and it'll be like, wait a minute.
Well, usually you're thinking about the whole thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're redoing your master bath, you're probably looking at the bedroom, too. I need to change the floor. Yeah. I need to paint.
Your master suite, you kind of look at holistically. Oftentimes, like if you update a kitchen, especially in the open concept, and this thing is magnificent, it's beautiful, great feel from it. But then you start seeing other spots within that general area, and it's like, man, we really need to do something about this.
But yeah, while we're at it, we may as well look at this, and this, and just pull the whole space together.
It's kind of funny how the open concept did that. Right, because if it was room by room, that room you wouldn't you might,
right,
but you don't necessarily see it. Whereas if you redo a kitchen, in an open concept, it's like, hey, there's the new part of the of the great room. We're in the old part, you know.
But it all boils back down to what Joel said earlier. It's all lifestyle. I mean, it's how we live that determines our floor plans, our design preferences. When I started in this business, 18th century was all the rage. You know, Chippendale, Queen Anne, mahogany, formal was all the rage.
In the 18th century.
I thought that's where he was going.
No, it didn't sound
like that. Like, well, when I started this business in the 18th century,
I started in the late 80s.
You look great, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me just tell you.
Yes, thank you. So, no, but that style was popular, right. And it was everything was, you know, high gloss and formal and very traditional, and we've gone so far the opposite way.
It's funny that you say. I mean, even with the paint, because you know, gloss, semi gloss,
yeah, eggshell, even eggshells.
Yeah, kind of, now it's like matte.
So when you like just dive into that just for a second, are you saying that glossy paint? When did that go away?
Anything with a high gloss is when it's, I don't want to say it's fragile, but it shows everything, scratches, Mars, everything.
Any imperfection in your wall.
Or furniture, you don't touch it, it's going to scratch, you'll scratch it, you know.
Right.
So we have, in 35 years, we have shifted so far away from that to a more casual, livable, usable, comfortable space.
Yeah.
And that I think that's part of what has driven the open concept too.
Yeah. Anybody who sat or in my case, go to your grandmother's house and lay down on the couch and get comfortable.
With the plastic?
Yeah. You're sticking to it.
Snapped in plastic?
I only had one of my grandmoms that did that. The other one was like, I don't care. But they both had like armrests on the couch.
Oh, the arm caps?
You know, they're not comfortable. Okay, you're not kicking back. You need like 19 pillows. You know, like basically you're just laying on pillows because the couch is not. And then they were formed.
In my house, that's how it is anyway.
Well, true. We have pillows everywhere.
Like you got to dig all the pillows out
to get to
be able to sit. And then my wife will. Then I try to put them back together, and then
it's wrong.
It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
Absolutely.
She thinks it's hilarious. Like you can never get this right. There is not a right.
There's no right. Right. It's like Tetris.
You're wrong. There is a right.
Chris is like, yes, there is.
I have to side with your wife. There is a right.
I can just see Chris like walking into a house that has the pillows and he's like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to contain myself. It's like, I want to go fix it.
It's like, where's Chris? Did he go to the restroom? Like, no. He's just.
No, he's straightening the artwork.
He's lowering it a little.
He's out there. He's got a level, a hammer, and some hanging.
Oh, yeah, there's
equipment.
A couple of times I just want to go, I need to fix this. But don't. Because
you write like a little bill down.
You don't. Unless they ask, you don't say anything. Like, no.
You're not coming over my house.
I could spend a couple hours. I can have this all really nice.
That's pretty
little
fun.
Little pro bono, you're welcome to my house.
But the funny thing is but really, in all seriousness, furniture, and I remember a time where furniture was not super comfortable to me.
I would say that's probably true.
Like wood armrests, you know, like
Chippendale sofas that were real popular for a while.
Yeah.
And then, but none of it was curl up, watch TV, lounge. Now it's all deep and
lounge. You can like get.
Just be comfortable. I mean, which I like.
Sure.
I mean, it's rather than rigid and stiff.
And then they had.
We don't live rigid and stiff.
No. And the cushions were like on a couch. You could just see like three people can sit there because there's the one cushion, the other. And they're, you know,
They're still there.
They're still there, but now they're like not.
Deeper and.
Not segmented as much as they used to be.
No. And then, the types of fill that they use for the cushions is much softer, much more durable, much more easier
to maintain. I think the technology has also helped with,
especially even in fabrics, lifestyle.
Well, fabrics. We had talked about paint too. Like you would never use a matte paint before because you just wipe it off.
It came off with the wall.
Yeah. Now the technology
didn't stick to the wall.
Flat paint if you got a mark on your wall and you tried to clean it, the paint came off with it.
But not anymore.
Not anymore.
I was going to say, because
the technology,
it's just better.
So now you can do that.
Right. But gloss, I'm trying to think of the last time I saw like legitimate glossy paint on a wall that wasn't like a commercial space. Like it wasn't a, you know, a department store or something like that.
Well, I would always discourage a gloss on wall unless you're purposely trying to do a lacquer, which is a specific look that you want, high sheen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just going to go out and buy paint, I recommend matte. Maybe eggshell, depends if you want more cleanability.
Like a little low sheen.
Low sheen.
But low sheen, right.
But other than that, flat on a ceiling, matte on walls, satin on a trim.
Now, glossy was easy to clean because nothing stuck to it.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty much.
Well, there was, you know, growing up at the beach, glossy was very popular. But you would have one, there'd be a glossy wall.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Huh.
For sure.
For sand? Or?
I'm sure. I don't know, but more brightness, or I'm not sure. He's been giving me like a crazy look, but.
I'm just trying to figure it out.
Well, I'm trying to think of like how to explain it. Like you would have the ocean there to your right,
uh-huh.
and the wall across from that, because they would all have just giant windows.
Yep.
Right, you know,
facing
like,
the water.
Yeah.
Which you would
and
want.
That other wall, glossy.
Maybe it had to do with the reflectiveness.
But I mean, I just remember.
But
not anymore.
Would that make it more reflective?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But the sun's on the East Coast, the sun sets in the west.
Right.
So at night, it's dark.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that kept some of the light
dark.
Going.
Isn't that that's mm-hmm. normally how it works?
Yeah.
I meant when the sun's going down, like in the afternoon, it's not like on the West Coast where.
Yeah,
they're getting more sun.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. I would say that would have something to do with it. But now it's not at all. I mean, now they're, like you said, you can't find glossy paint.
Right.
We can find it. It's
on the wall, though. You don't
see
it.
Yeah, you just don't use it.
Yeah. Oh, we're out of time. We got to go. John's going to kill me. We're like many minutes past.
Oh, wow.
Well, anyway, when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini, along with Joel Graber from Graber Customer Modeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. And you are listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We are brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops, with the showroom now open in Granger next to C. Kramer Interiors. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We're talking about changes. We don't pay licensing fees, so I'll just have to sing Changes by David Bowie. Ch-ch-ch-change. No, I won't do that. I'm not going to force you to listen to me say anything. But things have changed. We talked about like paint changing, but mainly like we started with the floor plan idea, like how we've just morphed. And Chris, in the first segment, you had said that COVID changed things because people realized that private space was becoming a little bit more important.
Right.
And you're kind of like, and I was thinking about that. It's almost like, well, the go to your room and do things, that's kind of like exile, right? And I think they're trying to get away from exile and more like purpose.
Right.
Right.
You're not exile. I mean, you need functionality.
Yeah. But if you go all the way to your room or, you know, a bedroom to do something, you're kind of like away. It's not purpose.
Right.
You know, it's got the wrong, you're doing, using the room for the wrong purpose.
Yep.
Is what I meant.
Yep. It's not comfortable.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't feel the functionality. It doesn't feel right.
I think that it's kind of funny how we circle back around though, because our forefathers, I mean, the people that the
four
people,
score in 20 years,
those that were designing the houses back then, we talk about, they used a lot of function, right? They wanted to heat small rooms,
yeah,
and things,
yeah.
But maybe they were onto something, that they also were creating purpose spaces, also, even if they weren't doing it on purpose.
Right.
You know, like even if they weren't like COVID didn't pull back the curtain on a need for a purpose space. Right. Right? But in fact, I you had mentioned this. I don't know, Joel, you remember Chris, it was like a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago. And he was like, dining rooms are coming back. And you were like, yeah. What? They are.
Mm-hmm.
The new build in my neighborhood has a dining room.
Well, that was one of the questions that they were asking me from Leatherman Supply the other day is, are you seeing dining? We're seeing dining rooms coming back. Are you seeing that as a trend yet? So,
but then you're like, I was way ahead of that.
Yeah, last year.
but yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because some of the newer homes that are being built, the dining room is a separate space, but it's still open to the main space.
Right.
In other
right.
words, it's not closed. It's not like over here yeah. with four walls around and a door. It has a much larger opening and it's open to the kitchen, but that's the dining room specific.
And typically, I mean, in this, you're not decreasing the size of the kitchen because people still use the kitchen.
Oh, definitely.
Like that, we're not going away from using the kitchen as a gathering place. It's
nope.
just you're seeing things being parceled off a little more definition to it, so that
but
for whatever reason.
But it's interesting because it's still open. It's not, you know, you might have there's a house that we're working on right now for the showcase that has a dining room, but it's, you know, it's like 20 feet long, but it has probably it's all open to the kitchen. So you have living room, kitchen, dining room, but it's all one space, but the dining room is still separate.
Is there a wall?
Not that opens from the kitchen to the dining room. No.
But there's a wall between the kitchen area and the living room.
Nope. It's all open. But the dining room is off the kitchen and it is a separate space, but it's open. There's no...
And it's not open to the living room.
It's away from the living room.
Right.
It's separate from the living room.
So the living room is geographically in a different area.
Yes. You have living room, kitchen, dining room.
In between.
But the dining room is... It doesn't take away from the open concept, but it still gives the dining room its own separate space.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if you had a open concept, Joel, and you wanted to, and you were like, I want a dining room. That's easier said than done because it sounds like that house
was set up for it.
Yes. Whereas if you have the giant square with this quadrant of your open area is the kitchen, this quadrant is where you sit and eat, and then this half is your your living area, that might be hard to accomplish. Like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around if you wanted to get to a dining room from that, might be a little, like, you'd have to put a wall up. Like,
you'd have, it would be, it'd be difficult to actually separate it other than just with furniture.
Yeah.
And
I think what makes it difficult, too, in most of the cases, ceilings are vaulted, still vaulted.
Yeah.
Versus flat.
Right. Oh, yeah. So a vaulted ceiling kind of adds another wrinkle into the, you can't just throw, you know, something.
A wall up there and have, you know, it just makes it a little more complicated and choppy if you're not careful.
Right. Right. It's funny. My daughter's house has a great room, but it's all, you know, it's built in 1951. You know, it was a giant house in 1951, I would imagine. A giant rancher. You know, but it's not very big, but back then it must have been like
the big
huge,
house.
Yeah. When she comes back to my house, which has the great room open concept, she's like, this is really different. Because she's so used to living in having a living room. And what's the other, it's not the living room, what do they call it? What do they used to call it? Den. Yeah, she has a living room and a den.
Parlor.
Parlor.
And it's like she's like, man, I kind of like being able to go over there, watch TV away, you know. And then they made their living room into a dining room, so that's how they want it. So it is kind of like that's, and they're young, you know, real young. never lived in a house that was built that way.
But it's kind of funny because we're another project we're working on is a ranch built in the late 80s. Has the dining room, kitchen is separate from the living room, but we're tearing out the wall between the kitchen and the living room and opening it, making it one large space. And her husband is like, are you sure we want to do that? Because I don't want the noise from the kitchen interfering with the TV.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a thing.
It is a thing.
And the noise from the kitchen, I know for a fact he's, and I've never met him, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. It's the sound of the sink.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing drowns out a voice like running water. I mean,
oh, that and clanging dishes.
It's the ultimate white noise.
Yeah.
Is running water.
Yeah. So that's his.
I'm with you.
That's his opinion of the space. We're still taking the wall out. But,
of course.
But it was a valid point. It made me stop and think, oh, I never thought of that. But you are now. This is their living. This is their space. This is their own space. And the TV is in there.
Going to be yelling at the kids to stop jacking around.
They're empty nesters. But
oh, okay.
So it's a little less, it's not like a depot.
But it made me stop and think as a designer, oh, I never thought of that element being an issue.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with him because I would have not had a great room because of that. Because like the noise,
mm-hmm.
there's like constant, there's refrigerators running in there and they're getting quieter, but
yeah.
You need to have a quiet one. Yeah. Right. I totally with them. No problem.
Yeah. It was interesting. Again, made me stop and think of that. That's not something that ever entered my mind. I was going for a look.
Right.
Well, and I feel like we're going back there more rapidly because to actually see a new built kind of old school, I was like, oh my goodness. That's pretty, it's two stories, so they kind of get away with some of it, like a sprawling ranch,
mm-hmm.
a little different. This is like one on top of each other, but to have like a dining room. Now, I know someone whose house was built in the 80s who has that, now that I think about it, like the perfect hybrid. The dining room kind of meets the kitchen over here. There's a sitting room off the dining room and then a den that also the kitchen kind of opens up to, but they're openings.
Right.
So if you're clanging dishes in there, it's not really like they're in the room with you banging pots behind your head, which is what I'm thinking that gentleman was like, all I can think about is somebody's banging pots.
Yep. While I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
While the football game's on.
And one might say, hey, maybe you should go out with the dishes and then it wouldn't take so long. No, I'm just kidding.
Her response to it was, go watch TV in the bedroom.
Or sit, stand next to me and start drying some.
She goes, you don't watch TV in the living room anyway. You go in the bedroom.
Well, we're going to do the right thing. When we come back, let's wrap it up. This is Measure Twice. Welcome back to Measure Twice. I'm Rob Perugini along with Joel Graber from Graber Custom Remodeling and Chris Kramer from C. Kramer Interiors. This is the show that helps you envision your home's potential. And you're listening to us on Michiana's News Talk 95.3 MNC. We're brought to you in part by Leatherman Supply. Everything, windows, doors, cabinets, and countertops. With the showroom right now open next to C. Kramer Interiors.
Yes.
In Granger. And Hoosier Hardwood Floors, Michiana's trusted and valued experts on hardwood floors. You can visit them at HoosierHardwoodFloors.com. We're talking about changes. Things are changing. We got glossy paint turning into matte paint, which we got no dining rooms turning into dining areas. We got open concepts closing up. We've got furniture going from uncomfortable but pretty to pretty comfortable. See what I did there?
And still
like
pretty.
It. And still pretty, right? I mean, these things changed, and they're changing right before our eyes, and they change back. I don't know that we're ever going to go back to uncomfortable furniture.
Oh, no.
I don't think.
No. Why would you want to?
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like,
that's like, huh?
We don't really cover cooking, but the retro cookware look is coming back. Have you noticed that?
Everything retro is coming back.
And the idea that you have it on the outside of your cabinets. I don't know
like
if I
hanging
love
it?
That. Yeah. I don't know if I love that. Chris is nodding slowly, but not agreeing.
I'm just hanging from a cooking rack or something?
Yeah,
or like, a pot rack?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I get it.
I don't want my pots.
When I owned the restaurant, we did.
Well, that's different.
I get it. If you have a high output scenario, you might do that.
They would have hung pots back in the day to keep rodents out of them.
Absolutely. That's why they did it.
Oh, maybe I should do that.
Okay, I'm not going to be eating
that. You're absolutely right. Did you know that or did you just think of that? That's actually why they hung them up, because nothing
makes
can get
sense.
In them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they hang them. Generally, in a restaurant, you're hanging them for very similar reasons. So that
you're not attracting.
Yeah, everything's off the floor. And
or out of cabinets or with.
Our restaurant.
Makes perfect sense.
We had a rule. Everything was 2 feet off the ground. Everything. You could look, if you got on your hands and knees, you could look straight across the kitchen, 2 feet, like all the way wall to wall, because there's nothing there. Because it's just easier to clean.
Yep.
Other than
more sanitary.
Okay. Yep. So if you own a restaurant, you're like, well, the ovens are on the floor. Okay, get it. Ovens on the floor. Fryer on the floor.
Things don't typically.
Refrigerator. But.
Crawl into ovens. Well.
Yeah. not when they're on.
That's true.
But, you know, that commercial, you know, look. But the retro pots and pans is kind of funny. Because some of them changed because they don't work very well. I'm like, why are you doing that? Do you ever see that where we go back to something that's like less functional?
Have you seen Big Chill?
The movie, The Big Chill?
No, the appliance company.
Is that the one where you can change the fronts?
You can, they're the old 1950s, 60s refrigerators, freezer top, refrigerator bottom.
Round, like Airstream looking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Are they back?
Mm-hmm. Retro, very retro. Multiple color options.
I mean, they're bigger and they're more efficient.
Right.
Right.
But the concept is still the old style refrigerator. They're so cool.
Well, I think with technology, right, Joel, you don't need to run as much power to run a refrigerator. Wasn't there a time where you needed like special power to run them?
Yeah. We used to have to have a dedicated circuit.
Just for appliances.
Don't anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I think the Big Chill, I think there's more cubic feet.
Oh,
they're deeper.
Yes.
So you do get more storage. That's
now the one thing about them though is like you can't climb into it and survive an atomic blast.
Oh, like you used to be able to on those things. Yeah.
You go over Niagara Falls, you would never get out and they found you suffocated later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that did happen.
But you survived that blast.
Back in the day.
That's dark.
No, I'm at serious.
For real.
It's for real. If you dispose of a refrigerator, when I was a kid,
the 1800s,
they would put them out.
They called them an ice box.
They would put them out of the. They take them out of the house, and they were the type that would latch.
Yeah, right. The old my grandmother had one. It was like a locker.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you had to either take the door off or do something to keep that door open so that
it could be closed.
Right. So it couldn't be closed. That was a thing.
Oh, I imagine. I know that people used to go over Niagara Falls in refrigerators. Like, you know, they didn't make it. Don't ever do that. But yeah, but there was a reason why they were built that way. They may not have been efficient, but they used square footage pretty well. You know, like, I'm trying to think, like, what kind of kitchen would that fit in then? Can that just go in any kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Did you just get a Big Chill retro?
It's a look. It's a look. I mean, I've seen them in what they've made the kitchen all retro.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was like laminate counters with the
multiple colors on the cabinet.
With the chrome trim around the counter. Are you serious?
Yeah. Google Big Chill.
That's pretty wild.
And look
wild.
At some of their photos. But it looks like a 1950s, definitely more modern, but definitely retro.
But I should have sent you I wonder if Amanda, my daughter, still has pictures of the kitchen they just remodeled, because it was right out of like Home and Garden 1954. Like zero change from when the house was built. Zero change. Maple cabinets that they kept and redesigned because they're like, how are you going to, you're not going to find these cabinets anymore. And they're cool, you know. But the refrigerator, they found the original refrigerator in the basement.
Oh, wow.
And it was still running. It worked. The woman couldn't bear to get rid of it, but she replaced it somewhere in 1988, and that's the refrigerator that was there when they moved in. Two refrigerators and...
Wow, 1988? You can't buy a refrigerator that would last that long
anymore. Not anymore.
No, they plugged that old one in, and it sounded like a chainsaw was running. Like, how could you live in the house with that sound? And it probably got louder because it was older, but still pretty loud. I mean,
but again, now we have defrost. You know, when I was a kid, you had to open it up.
Yeah, you had a couple times a year. Yeah. You were
yes, you had to defrost, manual defrost.
Those were the weeks where you ate a lot of pasta, a lot of stuff that was frozen, and they was discovered in the refrigerator.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you gained all this cubic feet because you got this much of
the polar ice caps had melted. We had dealt with our own like global warming and freezing there.
That's funny.
You don't even remember
he
that.
He has
Joel,
no idea what we're talking about.
No idea.
I didn't have to live through that.
No.
Lucky you.
Yeah, because there was water
spoiled
everywhere.
Brats.
He's like boomer.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You want to take the boomer test. If you get a text from somebody and then they call you to tell you that they text you, that's the boomer test. Like, I know, I got your text. I got it.
Yeah, that's funny.
I just sent you an email. Okay, thanks.
I forget how young he is. It's like,
man. I know, he's just a baby.
I know.
Oh, jeez.
We represent like three kind of generations.
Yeah, no kidding.
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish.
You know.
Ish.
But yeah, defrosting out of, I mean, there are people listening right now like, defrost, what does that mean?
Oh, the ones
they call that spring?
Or, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like party lines on your phone.
Yes, absolutely.
That's...
Now, that predates me, except for the town that I grew up in did not update anything. So I had party lines, but it was just because the town never foot the bill to dig the hole and put the new lines in or whatever.
The only rich people had private lines. When I was growing up.
We're over time. Oh. Thanks for listening. This is Measure Twice.
Podcasts by Federated Media.